Hello and welcome to Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. On this show, I'll be interviewing organizations located in and associated with Magnuson Park to learn more about who they are, what they do, and how you can get involved. Today, I have Hannah Betancourt from Seattle Audubon. Hannah, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's just start off. If you could tell us your role at Seattle Audubon and how you got started there.
Sure. I am the education manager at the organization. I've been in my role as a staff member for almost 8 years now, but I first got started with the organization in summer of 2010 as a nature camp naturalist.
All right. So been there for a little while. That is great to hear. Could you give us an overview of the Seattle Audubon, maybe a little bit about its history and what sort of programs you run?
Sure. So we are a very, very old organization. We started back in 1916 as Washington State's first environmental conservation organization. So over the course of the last 106 years, we've done a lot of work in the realm of bird conservation. So it started off fighting against the international feather trade. But we've done a lot of work advocating for specific species and protections for birds both regionally and abroad. Our current work actually focuses on urban habitat and initiatives that benefit both birds and people. Birds really are an indicator species of environmental health, and we humans are just as impacted by environmental changes as the birds are. So we've been focusing a lot of our work in the realm of environmental justice and focusing on the disproportionate impacts of environmental changes in lower income neighborhoods to the people who live there. In aligned with that, we are also working on a project to change our name. We were in the news in the summer of 2022 when we announced that we were going to be dropping the Audubon name from our official title. We still haven't decided on a new name yet. We are still working on that. But we feel that dropping the Audubon name is an indicator of how we feel about environmental justice and racial equity.
So how soon do you think a new name will be chosen, or what does that process look like right now?
Yeah, so we have a group of volunteers who are working very closely with our community director to come up with some options. We had a lot of conversations with our community to get feedback on who we are and what a good name should encompass. So we're hoping to have some options here in the next few months, with hopefully a new name announced this summer.
Well, that is good to hear that you're taking the community, their voice into this process, and working on a name that is representative of the communities that you serve, folks that you work with, and the individuals who are partaking in some of your programs and activities. So looking forward to seeing what all of you come up with for a name. Now, with Seattle Audubon, as it's called right now, I know obviously you do a lot of work around birds.
Yes.
And with most states or all states having a state bird, my question is, what is Washington State's official bird?
Washington State's official bird is shared by several other states, and it is the American goldfinch.
Okay. And how likely is it for someone to see an American goldfinch in Seattle?
Actually, quite likely. I wouldn't say it's one of the super common urban backyard birds, but they do hang around all year long. So they aren't a migratory species necessarily that disappear in certain times of the year. I will say that now they're a little bit harder to spot, especially in the wintertime, because they have their winter plumage. So they're not as brightly, the males anyway, are not as brightly colored yellow like they are in the spring and the summer. But they're around. If you look around for them, they're there.
Well, that is one of, I'm sure, many, many species of birds in Washington State. About how many species of birds are there in Washington State?
Yeah, so there isn't a super straightforward answer on that. The official list by the Washington Ornithological Society puts us at a little over 520 species. But those include some really rare ones that have only been seen a handful of times or have not been seen since the 1970s. So you can say 520, but with a big grain of salt.
All right. So there's quite a few, it sounds like. And this might be a tough question since there are so many, but what is your favorite species of bird in Washington State?
Yeah, that is a tough question. So most birders, I think, will tell you that is a hard question to answer. The more that I learn about birds, the bigger my appreciation for them gets. So the harder it is for me to pick a favorite. I can say that my favorite Magnuson Park bird is the osprey. They are, you know, they're so present. They have a nest right in the middle of the soccer field, and they're just there all the time. And I just really like seeing them flying around and just raising their babies. So that's my favorite Magnuson Park bird. But overall, I cannot resist a bird with really great hair. So birds like the Steller's Jay or the Belted Kingfisher all have really great sort of crests, feather crests on their head. So I'm a sucker for those as well.
I did not realize that there was an osprey nest here in Magnuson Park. I will have to keep my eye open for that. I will say I have a bird feeder outside of my home office, and the red-breasted nuthatch, I always love it when they stop by. And I'm also partial to ducks, so I'd probably also pick a wood duck as some of my favorite species around this area.
Definitely good choices.
All right. Well, I have the official stamp of approval. That is great. So obviously, a lot of folks who are involved with Seattle Audubon, and you kind of touched on this, are involved in bird watching or birding. What sort of programs and activities does Seattle Audubon offer around bird watching or birding?
Yeah, so we have regular field trips and neighborhood bird outings that we offer on a monthly basis all around Seattle. Our field trips are on a registration basis, and those are a little bit harder to get into. But our neighborhood bird outings that we offer are a drop-in event that are really, really great ways for folks who are new to birding or new to Seattle to check out. So I would really recommend going to our website and checking out our neighborhood bird outings and just seeing where the next one is, because they're, like I said, they're really easy to get into. You just show up, go for a little walk in the neighborhood and look for some birds. And usually they're led by some pretty knowledgeable folks who can answer any of your questions.
And what is that website that folks should be checking out for these programs?
Yeah, so it's www.seattleaudubon.org. Not Audubon like the highway in Germany.
Okay. All right. So seattleaudubon.org, and that is AUDUBON, seattleaudubon.org. Now, is that name or website address going to change with the new name for Seattle Audubon? Is that the plan?
That's a great question. I don't know the specifics on that, but I assume so.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, outside of birding and bird watching, I know that Seattle Audubon offers all sorts of other programs. What do those programs and activities look like? What are those outside of the birding and bird watching?
Sure. Yeah, we have a lot of different education programs. So we have adult classes that we offer both online and in person that you can register for to learn about birds. Sometimes they're about bird ID, but sometimes they're a little bit more about the ecosystem or the different ways in which birds interact with it. So it's a really great way to learn a little bit more about birds and nature in the area. We also offer a lot of youth programs. So Nature Camp, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later, which is our summer camp program. We have a Young Birders program, which is our teen kind of birding club. It's where 13 to 18-year-olds join and these kids are just really into birds and they just want to connect with other peers who appreciate birds as much as they do. So we have our Young Birders program that runs throughout the school year from about September through June. We also do both community and school presentations based on requests that we get from the community. We also have quite a few community science programs that we run throughout the year. We have our Christmas bird count that we participate in every December. We have Climate Watch, which is a way for folks who want to help out in sort of our climate work that we're doing. And that's just counting red-breasted nuthatches, actually, for climate. We also have our Neighborhood Bird Project, which actually takes place in Magnuson Park. We have a team in Magnuson Park that comes together once a month to count birds as well. So a lot of opportunities to go birding for a cause.
All right. So sounds like there's a lot of those educational activities and programs, a lot of other programs for folks of all ages. For individuals who are looking to get into birding or bird watching, what is some advice you have for them, or what are some tips to get into that?
Yeah, the cool thing about birding is that you don't really need to do anything different in your life to get started, other than to just go out and look for birds. So, you know, we live in an area with a ton of different urban species. So all one really has to do is look out the window or take a walk in their neighborhood to get started on, you know, being a birder. So, you know, I would say that's step one, is to just actively go outside and look for those birds. I do recommend, if for those who want to learn a little bit more, to get the Merlin app. It's a free app that you can download. It's a really great field guide, but also has features that will help you identify birds that you're seeing or hearing in real time. So if you're outside and you hear something or you see something and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know what that is, the app can really help you narrow those options down. So I would really recommend getting that app, going outside. If you have a pair of binoculars that you can borrow from a friend, that's good too, but you really don't need those either, because birds can come pretty close.
Well, I will second the Merlin app recommendation. I don't do a whole lot of birding or any kind of bird watching too regularly, but that has definitely come in handy, again, at that office feeder I have, but also just out in the park or out in the natural areas, curious about what sort of birds I'm looking at or hearing. It has been very helpful in identifying and learning more about the different bird species in this area or as I'm traveling. So definitely check out the Merlin app if you're interested in learning more about different bird species.
Yeah, all it takes is just being a little curious. So,
indeed. Mm-hmm. So you've got the education, you've got the birding and the bird watching. What other types of work does Seattle Audubon do in terms of conservation or advocacy? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I think folks initially assume that we're an organization based on looking at birds, but I think we are actually a lot more than that. You know, we've been a conservation organization, like I said earlier, for our whole existence. And most of our current work is actually focused on that still. We have our current Bird Safe Cities campaign, which really aims to teach sort of the people in the city about how changes to our urban environment can really help the birds thrive within the city. So we're really focusing on actions for this when we talk about this campaign with folks. So small changes like adding patterns to the outside of a window to prevent collisions, keeping cats indoors, turning outdoor lights off during migration season, or moving away from rat poisons to other rodent control methods are all really easy things that we recommend folks do starting today.
Well, you mentioned earlier that birds are kind of an indicator of a healthy ecosystem. How do birds benefit the ecosystems or the environments that they live in? And why is that bird conservation so important?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, birds are part of the ecosystem, and there's so many different species of birds that do so many different things within the ecosystem that their benefits range really greatly. So I would say pest control is one of the big things that I think it's important to remember. Birds are bug eaters. So if you don't like bugs, you should be friends with the birds. So birds are bug eaters. Birds are also rodent eaters. So any rat, mouse problems that you may have, owls and hawks are really great sort of natural pest control to help with that. Additionally, there's a lot of species that are considered keystone species within habitats. So examples like woodpeckers, they change the environment by pecking holes in dead trees that benefit not just other birds, but a lot of other species as well. They use those holes for nesting. So there's a lot of environmental and sort of ecosystem benefits that birds can provide that both benefit other creatures, but also humans. And I also do need to mention that there was actually a study that came out last year in the UK that showed that daily interactions with birds have a marked impact on people's mental health, including those who have been diagnosed with depression or anxiety. So it's proven scientifically that looking at birds and being around birds and interacting with birds is good for our mental health, which I don't think that there's a better way to, you know, support birds in the city than that.
Well, that is very interesting. I can certainly speak anecdotally from putting that feeder outside my home office. Always cheers me up seeing the birds around that and in the area around the house. And certainly just being out in nature and interacting with birds out in their natural habitats. It is great to hear that there's kind of a scientific basis for those feelings and that they can really help benefit folks who might need that little bit of a pick-me-up. And certainly good option for getting out into nature. Just another reason to do it.
Yeah. When COVID started 3 years ago, almost, we saw a huge bump in people who suddenly started being interested in the birds around their homes because they were stuck at home and they needed something to help them feel better. And the birds were there for that. So,
well, that is definitely why I did it, moving to remote work and putting that feeder up outside the home office. So can definitely relate there as well. For anyone who is just tuning in, this is Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. Joining me today is Hannah Betancourt with Seattle Audubon. Seattle Audubon is a nonprofit organization focused on conservation and protection of birds and their habitats, and an organization that advocates and organizes for cities where people and birds thrive. Hannah, you mentioned earlier the Nature Camp, one of the programs that Seattle Audubon runs. What is Nature Camp and how is it associated with Magnuson Park?
Yeah, so Nature Camp is our summer camp program that we've been running for over 40 years now. And I think, I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm pretty sure we've been based out of Magnuson Park for at least half of that time. So for probably about 20 years, we've been based out of Magnuson Park. The goal of our program is to offer high quality childcare during the summer when parents need that childcare, but also a place that allows nature-loving kids an opportunity to connect with both peers and adults who share the same passion for the environment and being out in nature during the summer months.
And for folks who are interested in signing up for that or joining that program, what does that process look like?
Yeah, so we are starting our camp registration lottery on February 15th. And that window will be open for 48 hours for anybody who's interested in joining the Nature Camp program this summer. I will say that our camp programs at Magnuson Park are for kids entering kindergarten through ninth grade. So a pretty wide range of kids that we welcome. We also have a junior naturalist program for high schoolers, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders to help us out as junior naturalists. So we have something available for almost all ages to join us at Nature Camp. So February 15th is when our camp registration lottery will open. You can find more information on our website about the details of what that's going to look like.
And that website, again, seattleaudubon.org. What sort of activities are participants going to be doing at Nature Camp?
Yeah, so Nature Camp, I would say 75 to 85% of the day is spent outside exploring. Magnuson Park offers a lot of great spaces to explore birds and just other nature. Our camp is, while we do focus a lot on birds, we also have other themes during the week, Some of our camps are about oceans or forests or wetlands. And I know Magnuson Park has really great wetlands. So then we go over there and explore and see what's in the water. So, you know, yeah, a lot of the times are spent outside exploring, playing games, learning about how ecosystems work and how the different interactions look. We also go on field trips twice a week. So getting on a bus and going to visit a different park just to change up that habitat to explore. And it's just it's a great way for kids to just connect with other people and learn a little bit more about what's going on outside.
It definitely sounds like a lot of fun. Again, the lottery for that opens up on February 15th. Check out seattleaudubon.org for more information about the camp and how you can get connected to that lottery. Now, with Nature Camp, you had also mentioned more of a scientific surveys that go on in the park with bird counting. With those counts and other programs, how else is Seattle Audubon connected to Magnuson Park?
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, we have our Neighborhood Bird Project monthly bird surveys that take place in the park. We are actually looking, I think, for more volunteers to help out with that. So if anybody's interested in helping us out in counting birds in the park, we would love to hear from you. We do have neighborhood bird outings, those sort of drop-in, low-pressure outings that happen in the park as well. So check out those. We have some partnerships that we really enjoy. We've worked really closely with the Magnuson Children's Garden for the last few years. And that partnership really comes to fruition in the summertime when we are here with our campers. And our campers help with sort of stewardship activities like watering certain planters, feeding the worm bin, and things like that. So we really treasure our relationship that we have with the Children's Garden. And then this year, we're really excited to also partner with Red Ochre Art Studio, where we're going to be having a few art based camp sessions in that studio as well.
Well, it is always great to hear that those sorts of collaborations and partnerships are going on. And you also mentioned the volunteer opportunities. What sort of other opportunities, aside from maybe the counting, the bird counting, what sort of volunteer opportunities do you have for folks interested in Seattle Audubon?
Yeah, we have all kinds of different volunteer opportunities based on what folks are interested in doing or what skills they have. We have a nature shop, which is our retail space located up in Wedgwood, just up the hill from Magnuson. And we're always looking for folks to volunteer in the shop to help with sort of running the shop and welcoming customers into the shop. It's a really cool community space to hang out in. So that's a really great way to connect with us and help us out. We're also always looking for folks to teach classes for us. If you're really into birds and have that deep knowledge, that's a great way to help us out, or just to help out with community engagement events. We get asked to have a table of stuff at various public events, and it's really great to have a team of volunteers that we can call on to help run those events as well.
For folks who are looking for more information about those volunteer activities, any of your programs, I know we've talked about the website. What other ways can folks find out more? Are there any social media accounts or YouTube channels? What should they be looking for?
Yeah, so we have an Instagram account at Seattle Audubon. I think we have a Twitter and a Facebook as well. I am not the social media person. So, yes, I know we have a Twitter, we have a Instagram, we have a Facebook. I think our Instagram is our most active social media account. So I think finding us on there would be a really great way to keep up to date with what we're doing. On our website, you can also sign up for our newsletter. Just type in your email at the very bottom of the homepage. And that's another great way you'll get our monthly e-newsletter that'll keep you up to date on everything that we're doing.
Well, with the volunteer opportunities for folks who are looking to contribute to Seattle Audubon, what are some other ways that they might be able to do that? Do you take monetary donations, material contributions? What are some other ways that folks can contribute?
Yeah, I think the best, most supportive thing that somebody can do if they really want to get involved with us and to support us in our work is to become a member. Our memberships are $49 per household annually, and that is a great way to support us both monetarily, but also get in touch with us. And you get first dibs on our field trip registrations. You get a discount in our Nature Shop retail space. You get our quarterly paper newsletter. It's a great way to both support and to get involved. Of course, if you wanted to, and if anybody wanted to donate more than that $49, anything, any monetary donation above that $49 does go to a membership, but also supports us. And then, of course, you know, including us in bequests and any other ways like that, monetary ways like that is really helpful as well.
All right. So for folks looking to contribute their time or contribute monetary donations, check out seattleaudubon.org. And that is Seattle Audubon, AUDUBON.org. As we're wrapping up here, Hannah, is there anything else you'd like to let our listeners know about Seattle Audubon and the work you do?
Oh, that's a good question. I think we're doing a lot of work right now in a lot of different ways. So I think if becoming a member or offering a monetary donation is not within sort of your capacity at the moment, I think just putting the good word out there for the work that we're doing. We're working really hard in both protecting birds and the people in the city via our environmental justice work. So, you know, supporting us just with maybe mentions or sharing some of our social media stuff, that is really helpful as well.
All right. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure having you, and always great to hear about Seattle Audubon. So thank you for your time, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
I can't look at the rocket launch, trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Magnuson Park. Today we heard from Hannah Betancourt at Seattle Audubon, a nonprofit organization that focuses on conservation and protection of birds and their habitats, and advocates and organizes for cities where people and birds thrive. To learn more about Seattle Audubon, visit seattleaudubon, that's AUDUBON, seattleaudubon.org. And make sure to check out their website on February 15th to register for their upcoming Nature Camp summer program. Some upcoming events happening in Magnuson Park. The Lunar New Year Night Market will take place on Saturday, February 11th from 5 to 11 p.m. at Hangar 30. This event is only for individuals 21 and over and is a night of dancing, eating, drinking, and shopping local. Check out 206nightmarkets.com for more information. Also, the Hangar 30 Flea will take place on Saturday, March 18th from 12 to 8 p.m. at Hangar 30. This event is an opportunity to discover and shop over 100 booths of vintage, antiques, and collectibles. Check out Hangar 30 Flea, that's FLEA.com, for more information. And thank you to everyone who contributes to Space 101.1 FM. It's your donations that make this show and all of our programs possible. If you'd like to contribute, want to learn more, or would like to listen online, visit space101fm.org. And tune into Space 101.1 FM on Thursdays at 2 p.m. for more Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. Have a wonderful day. Walking.